This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Lots to talk about in the world of local politics today. First, emergency room doctor and state representative John Santiago pulled the plug on his run for mayor of Boston.
My intention to serve remains as strong as ever because service has taught me so much about life, about Boston, and about myself.
That exit leaves five major candidates, four of them women, to court voters just 2 months before the preliminary election. And then at the state level, even more trouble within the state GOP as a group of major donors gives party leaders an ultimatum. Get rid of Chair Jim Lyons or no more money for you. So here to talk about all of it, Lisa Kaczynski. She's a reporter for Politico and the author of the Massachusetts Playbook. Lisa, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you, Lisa. So let's start with John Santiago. He announced his bid back in February. It seemed like he had some good momentum then, but it has lost steam, his campaign has, over the last weeks. You know, fundraising slowed, single-digit support in the polls. So with that in mind, is it a surprise that he pulled out and pulled out now? Were people expecting this?
Yeah, given all of that, it wasn't all that surprising. As you said, he was back in the pack in fundraising and polling, though he had started strong when he entered the race in February, and rumors had been circulating for a bit that he might drop out. Those became more real yesterday when Santiago spoke to House Speaker Ronald Mariano and told Mariano, who was a prominent endorser of his, that he was weighing his options. Then last night, sources of mine and my Politico colleague Stephanie Murray, were hearing from the campaign that an announcement was more likely. So yeah, ultimately, just given where he was in the field, it is not that surprising.
Okay, so his departure leaves a field now of five major candidates. No white candidates, four women. We've got Acting Mayor Kim Janey, City Councilors Michelle Wu, Andrea Campbell, Anissa Saibi-George, and former City Chief of Economic Development John Barros. Santiago has not yet endorsed another candidate or even indicated that he will, but in his concession speech posted to Twitter, he said this.
I am deeply proud of the race I've run, the relationships made, and the impact our campaign has had. But the people of Boston have made it clear, and I look forward to supporting the first elected woman of color to leave Boston.
Going to endorse someone? Do you think he will? And do you know who that might be?
I do think that he will endorse. I mean, he definitely remains a factor by not endorsing right now, but his endorsement will, make sure that he continues to have a foot in this race. I don't know who he's going to endorse right now, but he did, like that audio clip showed, and he said in this video, he did indicate that it might be one of the four women in this very historic race.
So with that in mind, and given that there's been an overall movement to support having the next mayor be a woman of color, is there now particular pressure on John Barros?
Yeah, people are definitely looking at him a little more closely today, seeing if maybe he'll follow in John Santiago's footsteps. They were kind of in a similar place in the polls, that bottom tier, both lagging in fundraising. And yeah, voters, have been saying, you've seen it in polls, I've heard it from people in the community, that they want to see a woman of color elected as mayor of Boston. But I did talk to a couple of his supporters today. They appear to be full steam ahead. So time will tell what he does. Santiago's departure does open up a little bit more wiggle room for John Barros to maybe gain some traction, gain some new voters, donors. So we will see what happens.
And in terms of gaining new voters, John Santiago did seem to hope that a wave of Latinx voters might come out to support him and put him ahead. Which of the remaining candidates may have potential to court the Latinx voters that Santiago thought would be his?
I think that that's a very good question right now, and one that a lot of campaigns are probably thinking about. So I think that you'll see all of them really try and make inroads with voters from that community. I'm not sure if it's totally clear right now which one they have a home with, and I think that you're going to see a lot of movement to try and get a little more traction with that group over the next two
months. Let's look at the state level now. In a letter obtained by the Boston Globe, more than a dozen major party donors pledged to stop donating money to the Massachusetts GOP if Jim Lyons, the chair, remains in charge. They also pledged to fundraise more than $1 million more if he's ousted. Is that enough to force the hands of Republicans who still support Lyons? Is this the thing that forces him out?
That is quite literally the million-dollar question right now. part of the, I think part of the goal with that was basically right now to force Jim Lyons out before the next chairmanship election, which wouldn't be until, I think, the beginning of 2023. You would need a two-thirds vote of the Republican State Committee. And right now, they do not have the numbers, at least from my conversations with them, to actually force him to to force him out. So I think part of the hope with this, with these pushes, both from the donors and other ones you've seen recently calling for a change in leadership, is to get those numbers. But from what I've heard, they still don't have them. It may sway a few more people. I think people are hopeful, but I don't think it's there yet.
Okay, just a couple of reminders to listeners. Lyons had a significant challenger to his chairship in State Representative Sean Dooley of Norfolk, who lost his bid to replace Lyons by only 3 votes. Then, Lyons didn't call for the resignation of a state GOP member after she made homophobic remarks about a fellow Republican who was a candidate for Congress. As a result, 29 of 30 state House elected Republican members called on him to resign. Then this morning, in answer to a question from WBUR's Steve Brown, Charlie Baker also weighed in on today's letter.
Well, I've said, and so has the Lieutenant Governor, by the way, so have many other existing elected Republicans and previously elected Republicans, have said that we don't believe many of the recent decisions and statements that have been made by the leadership at the state party are consistent with where we believe most Republicans are generally.
So, Lisa, we know that there's this divide between conservative Republicans like Lyons, more centrist Republicans in the mass GOP. Do we know where the bulk of Republicans in the Commonwealth stand? And does this help shake that out?
I think if you look at the fact that Governor Charlie Baker, is a more moderate Republican who's twice been elected governor in Massachusetts, in a very true blue state, that you can see that, a lot of Republicans maybe are on the more moderate side of this. But among party activists, you're seeing a lot of the conservatives that are more aligned with Chairman Jim Lyons, which is kind of why you're seeing this feud. And, to be honest with it, Republicans are less than 10% of the voters in Massachusetts. So it is a small pool to choose from. And I think that we're very much going to see which one of these factions, if you will, or sides will win out in possibly the 2022 gubernatorial election if Charlie Baker jumps in, because he would have a more conservative primary challenger.
All right, before we let you go, let's talk about this million-dollar carrot that this group of donors is holding out. We know that the Mass GOP is in fundraising trouble, that the coffers are very low compared to before Lyons came in. Would $1 million be enough to turn it around? Or is that money so low that even with an injection of $1 million in cash, we've got a struggling financially state GOP?
I think that it would definitely be a very good start to help the GOP turn things around. And if that money comes, that would, of course, be with a change in leadership. That would be a signal potentially back to more, friendly times to some of the more Baker-Polito aligned donors in the party who have written big checks before and who many of the people on this letter were. So it may not be enough to fully turn the party around, but they are really hurting for cash right now. So any bit definitely helps.
All right, Lisa Kaczynski is a reporter for Politico and the author of The Massachusetts Playbook. Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.